Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, baby, where the steers are queer. Dig? Dig. And the barbecue is gay, as in really makes you happy. Happy you moved to Austin. So anyway, what's going on? Lots of stuff. Let's see what we're going to cover today. First off, we're going to have Michelle Obama, who says the U.S. is, quote, not ready for woman president. Then we're going to talk about how the U.S. just sent its most advanced aircraft carrier to the Caribbean Sea yesterday, joining nearly a dozen other naval warships there. And followed by a reversal, Trump says White House Republicans should vote to release Epstein files. Then we're going to cover a quick U.S. Border Patrol crackdown in North Carolina. And then we're going to finish by touching on tech leaders, including Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, proposing an AI data center in space. In space. I mean, I don't know. We're not going to have time to cover those in depth. We're going to try our best. We're going to do our best to cover all of these like magic. We're going to cover them all. We're going to talk about everything. I haven't been playing with my little sound machine as much as I would have liked. So I miss it. So I'm just going to start fucking with it. Anyway, not too much, though. Not too much. We have stuff to do. We have stuff to talk about. Okay. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing good in this in these times. What times? These times. Whatever these times means kind of depends on what your algorithm is telling you it means, basically. It could be the end of the world. It could be the beginning of the world. It could be the end of life as we know it. It could be the beginning of immortality. It could be the end of culture, fashion, creativity. It could be the end, or it could just be the beginning of a bold new world of no creativity from humans. I don't know what your algorithm's telling you, or your algorithm could just be telling you, hey, these times are some pretty good times. Nobody knows what these times are because the times are being tailored to whatever you want, whatever the fuck you want. That's what you can get now. I don't know if that's what I want. You know what I mean? When you go on social media, it's immediately tailored to you more and more and more and more, to a degree where I don't even know who's this for. Who's comfortable with this level of narcissism? Not a level of narcissism, but rather who's comfortable with like your phone mocking who you are, basically, making a parody of you, reducing you to some identity of some shit that you don't even relate to. Sometimes, like, TikTok gets really specific with me. It doesn't know what to do with me. It does demonstrate that it knows me in very subtle ways that are kind of interesting. Like, it knows that I kind of tend to scroll a little slower past videos that are about mixed race people, because me, but only because I just want to kind of touch in and see, like, is there anything new on that front? Oh, we are mixed? Okay. And then I just keep going. It's never anything interesting. It's always something to get mad about. So I want something interesting. I want it to be like, hey, if one of your parents is black, then you can jump higher than everybody that is Jewish. Something really specific. Something that I can go and test and have fun with and make other people feel bad for not being like me. Isn't that what all that's for? Instead, I get a lot of political stuff and like why I should be mad about it and how sad it is and weird. And it's way past the 1950s, where the main thing a mixed person would get would be there to be sad about would just be like general sadness about not being pure. because that mattered back then. And that, you know, that was just like culturally a touchstone of what you would prefer to be, is somebody who belongs to a big defined group with a very specific aesthetic, very, very specific aesthetic. But then what happened? Latinos came on the scene, and racially we have no specific aesthetic. The aesthetic is just bleh. That's Latinos. Just everything. It's all just, we just, every, the race, ethnicity, religions all squeezed into a tube and then just go, just every squirt is a Latino person. And, you know, you don't even mix it all up evenly in the tube, to have it all blended into like a gray, I guess it would be, if all, you put all the colors together, a brown or some black, or it's like all gooey mixed. It's not even fully mixed. So when you squeeze the tube, you know what the fuck's gonna come out. It's all over the place. So you, and now we're like 20, like a quarter of the population. So there's like all these people who don't give a shit about being pure, and mostly just give a shit about, you know, empanadas and who makes the best ones. That's what it really comes down to. That once you don't have race anymore, it comes down to just, what do you want to eat? That's what's best. That's the best kind of Latino, is like, where do you want to eat? That's, think about it. That's your only, think about your criteria for going to any Latin American country. It's like, what is there to eat? You know what I mean? You're not going there for specific culture, like racial culture, anything like that, really. Because it's, that would be like coming here for cowboys. You know, we don't have this, you know, ethnically pure self-expression. There's like salsa and cumbia and all these ethnic musics, right? Musical traditions and shit. But Latin Americans we're Americans, just like North Americans. I guess you could track history, our histories, just like here, with mostly just political shit that happened, you know, some wars, some interesting shit. But mostly, it's like, what do you want to eat? Those are the Latinos. And we fight about it in our heads. We don't even argue about it in person. It's just kind of like, whatever your preference is, why don't you just go there? You know what I mean? You like the corn-based empanadas? Do you like the flour tortilla empanadas? What do you want? Just eat it. That's it. All of our squabbles intra-ethnically or in between countries down there can really be resolved by a food truck with everyone's options available, and we can do that. That's pretty easy. So, not saying that we, you know, Latin Americans wouldn't fight about anything, but it's not going to be really what people fight around, like up here racially, right? Anyway, look, I went way off tangent, but what I'm saying is TikTok started serving me videos now about being quarter black, which is very specific to me, and that's weird. Not sure even how they found that out, but I'd be interested to know. Is it just straight up spying on my phone's data in its entirety, or is it the algorithm or AI, you know, large language learning model that somehow guessed it based on, you know, large samples of data? That's pretty impressive if it can do that. But the thing is, I don't want to see people who are like a quarter to a third black for no reason. Why would I want to see that, really? Why is that for me? I don't want to hyper focus on an uber specific detail about my racial background. That's for ancestry.com. That's for that. Just so I can find, you know, cousins that I haven't met yet, so I can ask them for money or something, or I can crash at their places in whatever Latin American country they happen to be living in, or even Europe or Africa, if possible. That's all I care about with my background. I want to know, which cousins do I have where, so that I can impose myself on them. That's all I want. That I want to meet cousins, to find some generous ones who want to give me money. I don't want anything else. I don't want to know anything else for any other reason. Is that the future? The future is maybe not that, though. But the future is like they're going to just hyper-tailor your newsfeed to you. I mean, eventually, isn't that just... You're just going to feel like you're in a prison of yourself inverted around you. Just... it's like your mirror image now on your phone. When you turn it on, it's like some weird, like hyper exaggerated grotesque version of you that you just stare at it and it mocks you. Yeah, I'm a fucking quarter black and have my fucking hair. Here, use this hair product to get rid of the hair. I don't want that shit. Anyway, let's move on. Speaking of hair, Michelle Obama talking about black ladies' hair on, she's selling a book. This is, let's see, people are talking about that because all she basically said that the United States is not ready for a female president. I don't agree. I think that... So far, the women candidates, with the exception of one that I know off the top of my head from, I think she was the first woman to run for president, or at least the first black woman. She seemed like a real spitfire. Firebrand? What would be the right? She's just a yappy, inspiring lady who just wouldn't shut the fuck up, who wanted to run for president. I would have voted for her. I forgot what her name is, though. They named some neighborhood after her in New York City. I can't remember her name. Let's see, she had glasses. Shirley Chisholm. Yeah, she seemed cool. If Shirley Chisholm ran now, she would win. Because she seemed clearly to be a person with integrity and conviction. And really, really good motive, you know, like genuine motive to improve things. She would win now. She would win. She would beat Michelle Obama, actually, if Michelle Obama ran for president. Shirley Chisholm would fucking run circles around Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama looks like too tired. She looks sleepy most of the time. Michelle Obama just looks kind of like chill. She looks... like she just smoked an L and she just wants to like talk shit. And it's kind of what she does everywhere. She looks like she just kind of took a hit and now she's chill. She's vibing. And she's like, yeah, baby, you know, I read a book and like, why can't people just stop talking about my hair? And just, that's it. And that's it. Let's see if I can find, look at this.
And the extraordinary woman that you are. But yeah. This time through a new lens. Through the lens of fashion and hair. Fashion.
Oh my God, I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Tracy Ellis Ross. Tracy Ellis Ross is interviewing Michelle Obama. Ooh. At the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Oh, at BAM. Yeah, and that's like, you know, that's Blackity Brooklyn Central. You go there to you know, see some shit. See some black-focused stuff. And so that would be a really good location in New York to have this event. And so they have had this event there. And you got Tracy Ellis Ross. She's like a little darling for that community over there. Specifically that community of people. Not like the black community writ large. But Michelle Obama, perfect. Tracy Ellis Ross, perfect. Good choices. And I just completely disagree with her about the female president thing. And then it's, you know, look at this. Fashion is meaningful.
There are a lot of it's real business. It's a job.
It's real business. It's a job.
Especially as a woman, I don't know about you men, you know, but it takes a lot of work to show up in a way that we're expected to show up. And my team.
I like how they talk about this with regards to fashion, which I agree. Fashion is not just frivolous. Fashion is a very important tool for diplomacy. It really is. It's used as such to send messages to countries, to make statements. And, you know, the thing is, it can only be that because of the military-industrial complex here. Making that happen. It's pretty cool. It's like you have a fashion show and you start talking shit and like somebody gets mad. Iran's like, what, you talking shit? And then all of a sudden you got warships behind you. Like, yeah, we're talking shit. You got a problem with that? And then Iran has to just kind of slink away and go, you know, I'll be back. I'll be back with nuclear weapons. And then you're just kind of like, that's what I fucking thought. Anyway, chop chop. Bring on the next anorexic model, please. With the pleated bell bottoms. Very nice. That's a good show. Let's show everyone what we think about Japan. The Japanese tariffs. Let's do that. Let's attach raw beef to this model to send a message to Japan about their tariffs. It is used as like a social engineering method for it's for diplomatic relations. It's to show allyship. It's to try to manipulate trends or anticipate them, rather. I wouldn't say I'm not one of those people. I don't think they're just kind of tinkering with people like that. I think it's mostly that they have enough money to be really opportunistic and see kind of a little bit ahead around the corner to anticipate things to make money, baby. To make some money. Like me with Ancestry.com looking for my cousins. You know what I mean? If you don't have Ancestry.com, you have to look for your cousins manually. They can pop up anywhere. Ancestry.com, I can anticipate. I see names ahead of time. That way I know which names to ignore because their broke asses are probably looking for the same thing that I'm looking for, but in me. And then I can continue my search for my rich cousin from somewhere, from like Basque. Or something like that, or Portugal, or like fucking Nigeria, wherever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a valid thing. But it's funny how they say that about fashion, how it's like it's hard for a woman to show up and this and that. But they don't say that about being a mother, which it is also hard to show up and do the work, especially because you're doing it for free. It is a job. Not to say that I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh, women should get paid to be mothers just from the government, because I don't see how that would work logistically. But nobody wants to talk about being a mom. That's why the fucking birth fertility rate's going down, because everyone's getting too old working jobs. And then by the time they're like, maybe I should have a kid, they're like, you're like 57 and you're like, maybe I should just have a cat, and that's it. So, yeah. And, you know, I got to the point.
I got to the point where it's like, please just let me have some Glory Vanderbilt jeans. My
look at that.
Stop sewing for me. I just want what the other kids have.
Oh, wow. So problems.
There was a lot of looking around. I remember.
Oh, my gosh, she's giggling.
The clothing, my hair, and how I spoke could actually protect me from the microaggressions of racism.
Oh, boy. Jesus Christ, this is 17 minutes in to an hour-long interview. They're already hitting this.
Do you remember when you realized that clothing could be a tool, or when you began to understand the power of how to present yourself within the context of protection or armor? I think it was...
I love these. This is an example of, you see, BAM, the neighborhood around BAM, the people that pay the tickets to go see this event. This is a great example of the black industrial complex here, where somehow it's kind of like the way pearls form through just an unimaginable pain inside of a clam. And then it starts to spin this web around it of, you know, organic material that it produces, this like substance that hardens over time. It's like spinning this really painful piece of sediment that gets in the clam or something from an outside environment. And then over many, many years, it just slowly starts to cover it up with this substance that hardens and it becomes a pearl. And this is the black pearl of black-focused, of the black-focused cultural economy, basically. It's black media, black... It is a pearl that has formed from its past. And it's hard. And you can never... You will never be able to not have this in this culture because it's essential to protect itself from the knowledge of basically the fact that this country, you know, had slaves. It's never gonna go away, but at least, and you know, it shouldn't because it happened. It's like, it would be really weird to continue to try to ignore that. That would be really very strange, actually. I'm not saying you need to beat white people over the head with it, but it's there, dude. Like, we can just talk about that and not have, it doesn't have to be pushed back against to the degree that it is sometimes. Sometimes I think it's justified where it's like too much. It's like, okay, yeah, relax. Okay, all right. We don't need to, my kids don't need to walk the plank for this. But, you know, it is an interesting feature of this country that the Constitution, you know, was written during a time when there were humans that were enslaved. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy. Hilarious also in a very cosmic, like bitter, humorous way. It happened. There it is. There we are. And it happened for other societies in history, like ancient Rome also. I've mentioned this before, there's a historical term for that, and it's basically a phenomenon where societies that have really gifted the world with its philosophical exploration of freedom and liberty have often been the same societies that have been responsible for like a shit ton of fucking slavery. So it's almost like you can't understand freedom without the shadow self of freedom, you know what I mean? Which is, you know, people that are slaves in your community, in your community. So this is the result of it. And this is it. You know, they come together. They're like black, 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 and black. And then the women, they talk about their hair, always talk about their hair. In fact, you know, personally, as a person who's like in this weird milieu of people, you know, the kind of half in, half out of this, of racially being whatever, black background. That's basically how you know whether you belong there. It's your hair. So your hair is the indicator of whether or not you're a black woman in this country. That's it. Because a person that looks just like me but has a fro would be welcome here. But my hair is suspect. I could be Greek. I could be Egyptian. I could be, this is any kind of hair from anywhere. Mediterranean, though, not anywhere else. So that's kind of how it is. That's how you know if you belong is what's your hair? What your hair do? What your hair do? That's it. And so you come together to these events and everyone looks at each other's hair and that's kind of the cost of entry is difficult to control hair. That's it. That's your thing. So, oh my God, this thing goes on forever.
It'd be less. So you either fuel that light that's in a child or you snuff it out.
Yeah, sure. I agree with that. Moving on.
To Bo and Sonny and Malia and Sasha and Grandma. Those were 5 approval points.
Okay, I can't stand this. Anyway, look, that's it. She just said that women cannot be president here. Women have been president in most countries, I think, at this point. I mean, I think the Taliban would vote for a woman if she espoused their values, which basically would just be, I mean, dude, being a woman president in Afghanistan would be the easiest thing at this point because all you need to do is just wear full burqa. And then when it comes down to debate night, where you go and debate, to, I don't know if they have TV, to like a bunch of goats or something or whatever you're doing. A bunch of goats and guys with Kalashnikovs, right? And they're just sitting there on rocks. And you get up there on the big rock with the other presidential candidates. Which, I mean, would you even want to be the president of Afghanistan at this point? They'll probably shoot you if you don't, if you raise taxes or something. But, you know, as a woman, easy. Wear full burqa, right? You step on to the podium to you know, when it's your turn to debate. You get behind that microphone or whatever it is that you're going to use to amplify. And then you just don't say anything. You say nothing. You say nothing, nothing, nothing for 30 minutes straight as a woman. You know what I mean? Well, they don't want to hear women's voices in public. So you would have a slow, just sea change. Everyone would just go, wait a minute, is she not saying a word? What an amazing woman. This woman gets it. This woman understands. And then for the end of your time for talking and presenting your case for why you should be female president, right? You take your hand and you put it on top, on the head of the burqa part, right? On the top of your head, you rip the burqa off. And then what you would have to do is a magic trick, basically, right? So as a you need to be a magician also, I guess, is nothing's there. You rip the burqa off and you disappear. Nobody was under, so that it appears that nobody was under the burqa the whole time. And like, you're a woman, you don't even exist. And the burqa just flies away on the wind, just caught on a breeze. It just flaps away. And then in the silence, you would hear slow clap. And then others would join in. And there would just be a roaring, just applause for this woman, presidential candidate. And they would vote for her. They would vote her in because she gets it. So even the Taliban would vote for president, female president, if done right. That's the problem with the United States, is that so far, aside from Shirley Chisholm, the only other women candidates that in recent memory have been women that that look like they need lubrication. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, they look dry. They look dry. They look like they need lotion. Something about them, like something about Hillary Clinton's creaky ass voice and Kamala Harris's creaky ass voice, dusty. They always sound like dust is going to come out of their mouths. And I don't know if that's from being old or something, or just being, you know, because being a bureaucrat, and both of those women have been for a long time, I think it sucks the life juice out of you. It dries you up. It makes you dry as the paper you got to push and read and deal with every day. That paper, you know, when you have you're exposed to too much print paper and it starts to make your throat feel dry. And you're like, I need water. That's why at every meeting in DC, there's just like, there are gallons of water bottled up in those little tiny water bottles for people to just quickly consume. That's why Marco Rubio had that whole thing where he was like extremely thirsty, because usually they hydrate. He was thirsty during a speech and everybody laughed at him. But he, you know, you get thirsty being a bureaucrat and pushing paper all day long. There's too much paper. It starts to kind of strip away the oils in your hands and your skin. And if you do it too much, you become dry like paper, like these ladies did. And then you also just seem dry, like everything, your ass seems dry. It seems like your husband needs to just douse himself in chicken grease before he can get anywhere near you just to make love. You know what I mean? The very dry ladies. And Shirley Chisholm was a juicy, vivacious firebrand of a woman, very different from these women. And we need women that aren't such bureaucrats, that have not been slowly mummified by many metric tons of print paper over decades. You know what I mean? and of just trying to make these dry bureaucratic decisions, right? Like, oh, let's go with this account. Okay, yes, make an audit over here. Yes, let's call a lawyer for that. Every single day, that kills you inside. And it makes you this creature of bureaucracy. And when people hear that, see that, feel that, it's not fun. You don't want that person president in your... Because you have to spend 4 years looking at their stupid faces on your television screen and your laptop screen and your phone screen. That's too much time. I don't have enough time. I don't want to look at some dumb bitch that I just instinctively don't like, right? I need a Shirley Chisholm. And I'm not saying like she needs to be black. I'm just saying she needs to be like that. Like I would rather have Marjorie Taylor Greene is the closest to that shit. She doesn't even like Trump anymore. He calls her a wacko crazy bitch, and yes, she is. But maybe that's what we need. We need a lady like that. That's what I'm saying. If you get a lady like that, that woman, something in that wheelhouse would win. But the women that they're putting forward suck. Michelle Obama maybe has a chance. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, the U.S.'s most advanced aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, arrived in the Caribbean Sea yesterday, joining nearly a dozen other naval warships there. At first, I thought, okay, are we going to war with Venezuela? But now I'm thinking, I bet Venezuela, or at least the elites there, petitioned this from the United States because it's getting out of hand and nobody knows what to do with these drug cartels. The drug cartels are like, they're like multinational corporations, but cut loose. If anything, they're the dark Jungian shadow self of multinational corporations. That's what these drug cartels are. They reflect them. They work with them probably. They interact. They trade. They pass each other by in the night. And they are profitable. That's why they have enough money to be a problem with weapons and organization as organized crime units. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I guess we have to do something about them. But at this point, just like multinational corporations, these cartels they're as good as mobile countries. They're small decentralized nations, because I think that's the next step in nation building. Before, the nations were based on land, but now if you digitize everything, if you make everything have a digital value where you could just, everything kind of gets traded online, everything. I mean, you could tokenize your soul and sell that online. And I'm surprised no one's tried that yet. But once you do that, land just becomes kind of irrelevant. Eventually it's going to get decoupled from digital assets in a way. And you're just gonna be buying and selling stuff online, you know, Poshmark, you know, but for carving up the lands, the world's resources or something, and eventually, I think even nations are gonna be just tokenized, and they're just gonna be things that exist conceptually online, and they're not gonna really be based on geography anymore. You don't need geographic boundaries to have a nation. I don't think you did before in the 20th century. That's why people fought over it, because, you know, naval bases and stuff. But multinational corporations and cartels have effectively broken that down in real time, because they operate within and without every nation. And now they're working through governments like ours. And they are nations. They provide for the people that work for them in ways that nations should, you know, healthcare, education, housing, all of the ways that our government is failing us. If you work for those corporations, they'll give that to you at a cost, but, you know, whatever. So let's see what happens. Anyway, in a reversal, Trump says House Republicans should vote to release the Epstein files, but that's because I think, you know, he's just trying to, like, reverse psychology this thing. It's like, because he knows if he pushes back, it's going to look more and more suspect. And at this point, the Epstein file thing, they've they've completely lost the plot with what was concerning about it. You know, a fucking guy died in a cell, and if you read the report, it doesn't look kosher. It looked like something happened. It's very suspect. Didn't he write in a journal that if I die, I didn't kill myself, all this stuff, right? And we've moved on from that because the thing is, understandably, you can only do pure speculation about the Epstein report and, you know, about whether or not he was murdered. So that goes nowhere, right? So they can just dismiss that as a wacko conspiracy theory and then move on to just some platitudes about like, oh, these poor girls who were abused by the, but, and then take that away and then you just take that from any like relevance to accountability. And then you could just use it as a congressional member to basically discredit your opposing party members. That's it. And now it's just being used as like a shit throwing tool. That's it. Just to discredit the Republicans or discredit the Democrats. Like that's all they're going to use it for. And it's just going to peter out. And no girl will get justice. But even more importantly, we will bypass the concern that we have the people of this country of how much do the people in power of this country indulge in extrajudicial activities behind our backs in a way that basically flouts the Constitution, undermines people's freedoms, and is immoral, basically. You know what I mean? Like, how much is this country acting like organized crime? How much is this country acting like a cartel? And how much is it not? Because a lot of people have been murdered, aside from Epstein, in ways that are very suspicious. And a lot of times the Saudis are behind it or this or that. But other times it kind of is like, hey, are we behind this? Are we the baddies, so to speak, right? Like the Hot Fuzz movie quote that everybody fucking uses as a meme. But you know what I mean? This is the thing that people are worried about. And they're trying, it's just, I don't know what they're trying to do, okay? I don't know. I don't think it's a huge conspiracy to get people away from that. I think it's like they can't address that, so they're going to just make talking points that are tangential to that concern, but that don't address it until people forget and it peters out and nothing comes of it. That's what's going to happen. And people are going to forget that there were a string of suspicious deaths that have been occurring for the last couple decades. We, you know, 9/11 and all this stuff has been happening. It's not, they take the wackiest conspiracy version of whatever theory and then they plug that as the thing everyone supposedly believes, but that's not what it is, right? What we want to know is like, are you engaged in problematic international relations that undermine our status as a democratic republic? Perhaps are we doing things abroad that are wrong, immoral? Are we backing dictators? Or like what is? And we have, by the way. But I'm just saying, they want to move away from that because there's nowhere to go from there. It's kind of like. Talking about like black slavery in this country, you know, they kind of move towards away from because there's nothing to do with that. You can't fix it. You can't change it. So what do? We just talk about black women's hair. That's what we do. And then BAM has all these events and stuff and people pay money to go see it. And they sit there and they go, oh, that's interesting. Being a black woman is very interesting. I'm glad I am a black woman or know them or am related to some. And then that's just becomes a part of the economy and part of the media. And it's just like this big pearl being made to basically buffer ourselves from the pain of knowing what the fact that we are these deranged apes, basically, that engage in all kinds of suspect behavior at all levels, not just elite levels. There's people who just work a blue collar job that are connected to a whole social network of other blue collar people, the just regular family, who know people that are, let's say, in low places and value that, actually. You know that saying, like, have friends in low places? They value that. And that person could be any kind of a dirtbag. And why would it be different in other tiers of, you know, whatever, financial income? Anyway, so I'm just saying it's the whole Epstein thing has become nothing. That's all. It's become a nothing thing because they have basically taken the conversation out of the mouths of the people, quote unquote, and have twisted it to serve their interests of just, you know, remaining incumbents, running for office, smearing their opponents, and that's it. It's just another tool. And that's probably, I guess it's good. I mean, if society broke down for everything, I mean, we wouldn't have one. So maybe we just need to delude ourselves to work. You know? Anyway, but yeah, they're, let's see. Oh, yeah. And then what's happening at the end of the day, tech leaders, including Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, are proposing AI data centers in space. And that's where they're at. We are here going, hey, are you murdering people to keep their mouths shut about the dirty shit that some of you get up to on private islands around the globe? Is there stuff happening maybe we should know, be privy to a little bit? And then Musk and Bezos are like, hey, why don't we have batteries on the moon? And then that's what they're doing. And they're going to get it because they basically paid for Trump's presidency. So it's going to happen. I mean, data centers in space, I have no idea. I mean, what does that mean? Is all our water going to get siphoned to fucking Mars or something? I don't know. Data centers in space, maybe. Maybe. I would have to see where that goes, I guess. Not that I am a decision maker, or that I'm just saying in order to make up my mind. That's all about that. That seems excessive. It seems like a lot of energy output to do that thing, to install data centers, which also require a lot of energy. It's something that seems like literally pie in the sky, like data center in the sky kind of shit. And also, I don't want these guys on the moon because then they're going to start selling ad space on the moon. And I don't want to see it. And also, you know how Elon Musk is. He likes to be like kind of trolly. I don't want to be looking up at the moon one night with my daughter. With my daughter. And I'm like, oh, Sunday, look at the moon. You know, people say that there's a man on the moon. It's an old saying. And then I look again and I go, wait a minute. Is that Elon Musk's face on the fucking moon? And then I got to look at the news and see that Elon Musk paid a bunch of drones to go up to the moon to make a figure, you know, to make an image that from the Earth looks like his stupid fucking face. I don't want to see that. Or like an ad for Tide Pods or something like that. I don't want to see that on the moon. But if they get there, they'll do it. Or Jeff Bezos, you know it's going to be like one day you're going to look at the moon, you're going to see that stupid Amazon smile. You know it for Black Friday. You know it. I don't want to see it, okay? And then I don't know what Zuckerberg's going to do. Probably put like his fucking wife's face on it or something because he's just all up her ass, build a statue for her. Why not put her on the moon? They're going to start messing with the moon. I don't want that. I don't want to have propaganda coming from the surface of the moon. I don't want them there. I just don't want them there. You know what I mean? It's like, get out of there. Get out of the way. I just want to look at the night sky. Can you please stop being there? Stop it. Anyway, I'm going to tell my daughter about the stars when I don't even know if the star I'm pointing at for her to look at is a drone, a star, a satellite. Huh? Or like a Jeff Bezos delivery system, or if I'm pointing at a data center in space. I have to use an app. man, the world seems to be getting better and more complicated at the same time. I don't know. I mean, I hope the data center thing works out. I do, because it doesn't seem good so far. But we'll see. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run for president. That's what I'm going to do. And then we'll see if a woman president can have, and then I'll lose and I'll be like, you know what? I think it's that America's not ready for a woman president. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, that's the end of the Melissa Diaz report. I was Melissa Diaz and now I'm leaving. So thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you had a good weekend. I'll touch base with you again on Thursday. And in the meantime, I hope you have a great week. Thanks for listening. Until then, adios, motherfucker.